glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Gracious and loving God, we thank you so much for the gift of this day. We thank you so much for our freedom to worship here. And that's why we have gathered, to lift your name on high, dear Lord. We are here with open hearts and minds to serve you as you would have us do. Please guide and direct us and be with us during this hour that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us to recognize the fact that we are honoring and memorializing those who have given their lives in defense of their country. And I know there are many of you here who have served, who are now retired, and there are some even that are on active duty still. And we want to take a moment to say thank you for your service. And to thank those especially who have given their lives for this. And I know many of you have known people who have. There are people still today who are losing their lives in defense of their country. So if you would, let's take a moment of silence, followed which we will do the Pledge of Allegiance. Will you join me in the pledge? I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen. Well, let us worship our God this morning with the passing of the peace. Will you turn to your neighbor?
Good morning, Calvary, and happy Memorial Day again. We've got a few things going on. You're running out of time, though, to help sponsor our youth. Summer camp is... Yes. friend, the man. They're a little old for youth.
He's coming up with a couple of the youth.
I'm just smacking.
Bill?
I just want to say thank you for all your help to this point for summer camp. We're wrapping up and getting ready to send kids, but I want to remind you the importance when a kid goes to camp, this is how he turns out. When he doesn't go to camp.
Send him to camp, please.
If you have any questions, see me after the service.
Please don't miss out on your blessing of being able to help sponsor with any amount of money. It would be greatly appreciated. Next Sunday is June 4th, which is Pentecost Sunday, and we're asking that everyone that has red to wear it for Pentecost. Well, I had some to say, but Fran took my fire away. No, on the youth. No, that's great. Fran does a great job, and please help sponsor our youth. All right, if you would turn to the back of your bulletin. God has given us everything. God has called us to be one in Christ.
Jesus calls upon us to love one another as God loves us.
Jesus laid down his life for us.
And so we are called to lay down our lives for one another.
Come, let us worship our God.
Let us follow Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
If you would please stand and look to the screen behind me, we will sing, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. Stand and turn in your hymnals to number 888. This is the good news which we have received. in which we stand and by which we are saved.
Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen.
Thank you. That was very beautiful. Lovely. I want to share some people with you that need our prayers, and then we will have moments of silence before we go to God in prayer to add our prayers to those that are already being lifted up. Many of you know Bev Harbin, who comes to this service. She had open heart surgery on Friday to have a valve replaced and is doing, you know, she's doing well, but she still needs our prayers. She's going to be in recovery for a little while. We need to be in prayer for Sharon Harris and about her future and about her life. She's in Memorial Hospital right now, and we lift her up in our prayers. You know, she needs so much more than we could ever do for her, and so we just need to offer that to God and to say to God, please open a way for her life. Please open a way. Find a way to give her what she needs that we cannot provide without God's help. I remember Jean Story, who is also doing well from her cancer treatments, and we need to pray this morning for Mary Dixon's son, Don. She had to take him to the emergency room this morning, and so we want to remember him in our prayers today, Mary Dixon's son named Don. And I know there are many others, but let's spend a few moments in quiet meditation. If you would take a few deep breaths, bow your heads, and close your eyes. And let God speak to your heart today. With the name of someone, place in the world or a situation in life that you would give to God Almighty today. Hear our prayers, precious Lord. These are the longings of our heart. We know that we cannot go through this life without your help. You have given us your love to each and every one of us. May we truly come to know you and to know your will for our lives. It's hard to give over what we will to your will, but it only works when we give ourselves to you. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, give to us today whatever it is that we need and the promise of your hope for tomorrow as we pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
When I gave Sue the information for the hymns this week, I gave her the wrong information. Only because Ron made me do it. And instead of singing 369 this morning, we're going to sing number 717 in your hymnals. If you would please stand and turn to that. And we'll sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 5. sing verse number 4. Verse 4.
In the beauty of the lily, Christ was born across the sea, with the glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, the sky to make men free, if God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
He is coming like the glory of the morning on the wave.
He is wisdom to the mighty. He is honor to the brave. So the world shall be his footstool. The strong upon his slave. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Great job. Please be seated.
Now the special time of the service for me. It's always a great honor to read the Word of God. It's a special privilege when you get to stand up here and read it. So if you've never been a liturgist and you'd like to be a liturgist, you can inquire to the pastor about it. There's only a few of us right now, so if you're tired of listening to me and the other couple, you ought to volunteer. It is a great privilege and honor.
Are you
the reading today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing up toward heaven. Suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking upward toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which was near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the rooms upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. Bartholomew. Woo! That's a West Virginian for you. Anyway, these were the words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
I want to thank you for your prayers and support. It means a lot to me. As you know, if you were here last week, it was a very emotional week for me. And I have, my ups and downs regarding what's happening in my life, but I appreciate knowing that I have brothers and sisters in Christ who are praying for me. Thank you very much. Thursday was the Ascension of the Lord, which is what we heard about in our lesson from Acts. Today is the bridge between the season of Easter and Pentecost Sunday next week. And by the way, I want to remind you as well to wear red in honor of Pentecost. It's just a nice thing to do if you remember to do it, to see all this red out there, because it's a big celebration. Pentecost is a wonderful celebration, and so we invite you to wear red for that. But this time in between is the end of the story of Jesus' earthly ministry and a prelude to the coming of the Spirit on Pentecost and the growth of the church. And so I want to take this opportunity today to ask ourselves two very important questions. One is, why did Christ come? And number two, now that Christ has gone into heaven, what are we to do now without him? To get at the first question of why Jesus came, I want to read to you a brief passage from a book by Dennis Covington called Salvation on Sand Mountain. It's a memoir, his memoir of growing up in Birmingham, Alabama in the 1950s. And he says this. He says, most of the children in my neighborhood are called home for supper by their mothers. They open the back doors and they wipe their hands on their apron and they yell, Willie or Buddy or Ray. And either that or they use the bell, which they clang very loudly, loud enough to start all the dogs in the neighborhood to barking. But he writes, I was called home by my father, and he didn't do it in the customary way. He walked down the alley all the way to the lake. If I was close, I could hear his shoes on the gravel before he came into sight. If I was far, I would see him across the surface of the water, emerging out of the shadows and into the light. He would stand with his hands in the pockets of his windbreaker while he looked for me. This is how he got me to come home. He always came to the place where I was before he called my name. And that's the key sentence. He always came to the place where I was before he called my name. God in Christ came to the place where we were before God called our name. That is the why of Jesus' life on earth. He came to call us. 1 Peter 5:10 says, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ. The God of all grace has called each of us and came to where we were to do it. No loud shouts out of the back doors of heaven. No clanging bells echoing across the water. God came in the humble form of a human being, speaking our name to us and calling us home to glory. As the first two verses of the book of Hebrews says, long ago God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by a son. That's the basic answer to the first question, why did Christ come? Everything Jesus did, his teaching, his preaching, his healings, his interactions with the common folk and the religious authorities, the political powers, his suffering, his death, and his resurrection and ascension, all were a part of God calling to us, reaching out to us with love. But that answer leads to the second question. Now that Christ is gone, what are we to do? Why have we been called? Why has God called our names? Why did God come to us and call our name? One day on his way home from the church, a pastor saw a sign, a marquee like we have out here, but it was outside a church thrift shop, and the sign said, "Jesus loves you, donations accepted." And that's a pretty good answer to the question of why we have been called. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." God in Christ came to us in the life of Jesus to let us know that we are loved beyond any measure we can imagine. There's nothing we have to do. There is nothing we can do to earn God's love. It is ours. Like the sign says, Jesus loves you. There are no conditions on that. Whatever. But our donations to the cause will be joyfully accepted. We have been called to be loved and to be witnesses, to tell others about that love. To love our neighbors as ourselves means that we are called, I believe, to witness to the lives of all God's people. Let me tell you what I think it means to be a witness. There's a great little movie out called Shall We Dance? It's several years old now. I don't even know if you can find it on Netflix, but anyway, one of the characters in that movie says that to love someone is to be a witness to the person's life. To make sure that the person's life does not go unnoticed. It is to see another person's life and say, "Your life matters. Because you matter to me and to God." To be a witness means to witness to another person's life. We are to live as if all people matter equally to God, because they do. It means that we are to look hard and really see each other's lives and see what God sees in their life. Particularly those we usually don't see, and to make sure that no life goes unnoticed. Jesus didn't tell us that we were to be concerned about our own family. He said, in essence, that that's not what mattered most. He came to abolish the idea that what mattered was family or blood ties, that and being member of the chosen people. He came to say that God loves all the children of the world, red, yellow, black, or white, all are precious in God's sight. And that we are to witness to a kind of life that reaches beyond family ties. We are to notice. We are to pay attention to the lives of people who don't yet know Jesus as their Savior. A young couple had a baby in the first year and a half of this child's life. They put him to bed with these simple words. They said, "You are a beloved child of God." Every night, "You are a beloved child of God." And then recently, he responded with his first words, and guess what they were? He looked somewhat quizzically and said to them, "Child of God? Child of God?" Our call, because each of us is called, is to go into the world where God's people are and call out to them using the most important name they will ever hear, reminding them they are a beloved child of God. Amen and amen.
If you would please stand and look to the screen behind me, we're going to sing "I'll Fly Away."
Surrounded with the peace of knowing that you are loved beyond measure, and be a witness. A witness that others too have been spoken to by God and loved by God and called by God. Go in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. May His Spirit rest and abide with you now and always. And as you leave this place, go in peace. Amen.
Be an example that other people are using.